Jack Rickhouse, welcoming you to WGN's 40th birthday party. Life begins at 40, they say, and to prove it, we've lined up a three-hour party of music and fun just for the occasion. Along the way, you'll meet up with many of your favorite WGN personalities. We'll relive the last 40 years in sound. We'll have music by Bob Trender and the WGN Orchestra, the songs of Gloria Van, and stars from the big WGN barn dance. We've got a lot of surprise guests for you, too. People who've come out to help us celebrate this anniversary we're mighty proud of. You can bet it's a great day here at the Mid-America Broadcast Center. So stick with us from now until 5 o'clock and join in the fun. One of the great song hits of the 20s, Great Day, in a new streamlined version by Bob Trendler and the WGN Orchestra. You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you? Well, they stand for the world's greatest newspaper, the slogan of our great parent organization, the Chicago Tribune. At this time, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to have you meet the Chief Executive Officer of the Chicago Association of Commerce and Industry, Thomas Coulter.
Thank you, Jack. It's a great honor and a delightful occasion for me to have the opportunity to present this special scroll, citation scroll, as it were, to Ward Quall, the general manager of WGN, and to its managing manager of engineering and operations, Carl Myers, who has been here since the day WGN started 40 years ago. I should like to read this to you, gentlemen. It states, to radio station WGN, Ward L. Quall, general manager, Carl J. Myers, Manager, Engineering and Operations, for pioneering efforts and dedicated service in the broadcast field to its vast audience and for continuously striving to make its call letters among those most respected in the nation. On this occasion, the Chicago Association of Commerce and Industry salutes radio station WGN on the occasion of its 40th anniversary, and this is appropriately signed. I want you to know that we're most sincere about this and indeed proud of the great contribution that WGN and all its fine members and staff have made to the growth and development of the Chicago community.
Thank you very much, Tom Coulter. And Carl, I know what that wonderful inscription means to you, my good friend, for your years of distinguished service with these precious call letters. And Carl, would you have just a brief statement, please, for our many friends in the audience who I know are just as grateful as you and I for this recognition conferred upon WGN Radio.
Thank you, Mr. Quall and Mr. Coulter. I certainly will prize this, and it took a lot of help with some great engineers and great talent to receive this, and I will treasure it for the rest of my life. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl. And Mr. Coulter, I want to say this to you. Not only are we deeply indebted to you and your fellow officers at the Chicago Association of Commerce and Industry for this recognition which you have so generously conferred upon us, but far more importantly, Tom, we want to tell you that we are partners in progress with you in building here the greatest city in the world. And you, sir, Tom Coulter, have done a tremendous job in this overall effort. And your partners are here with you at WGN Radio and Television. Thank you again, Tom Coulter.
Thank you, Ward Quall. Congratulations.
Radio in the 20s began as a strange noise, picked up an even stranger gadget. crystal sets, manufactured rigs, homemade contraptions constructed of wires wound around oatmeal containers. The radio in those days had a big horn-shaped speaker. The very latest thing was a heterodyne, and later a super heterodyne. Nobody knew what it meant, but people stayed up all night listening to it anyway. In those days, distance reception was the thing. One citizen heard Pittsburgh, another Kansas City, and an occasional Magellan of the airways picked up Denver and even Los Angeles. In the 20s, radio scored a tremendous impact. On WGN, the Chicago Tribune station in the Drake Hotel, men and women thrilled to the Darryl Bryan fireworks of the Tennessee Evolution Trial. Sportsmen heard the roar of the motors as daredevils gunned their way around the Indianapolis Speedway, hitting 90 miles an hour. Harold Redgrange of Illinois ran wild against Michigan. 39-14 the score was, and an unknown announcer named Quinn Ryan delivered the play-by-play. And when the band played Hail to the Orange, in what Quinn described as the autumnal splendor of the scene, people felt as though they'd attended college. The 20s were the days of radio pioneering. Brash young fellows were doing things never dreamed of before. On WGN, plays, operas, ball games, and band concerts were broadcast. A couple of young song pluggers came on as Sam and Henry. Later, they were Amos and Andy. Little radio playlets were written, cast, and produced. On WGN, they began as dramatizations of comic strips. Mrs. Monahan's Boarding House, Gasoline Alley, Little Orphan Annie. In the 20s, WGN undertook to broadcast police calls as the boys in blue pursued bootleggers, burglars, and so on. The experiment cost $40,000 and kept the town in an uproar. One result was that listeners flocked to the scene of a crime before the police got there. Another was that the crooks became devoted radio listeners. It was the time that jazz came up the river from New Orleans. Only it didn't get on radio. It wasn't respectable. Dance bands remained pretty polite and pretty social. The great bands came a decade later. In the 20s, political conventions moved out into the open. Millions of Americans heard the national convention. In Chicago, from WGN, people heard their own familiar announcers describe the political scene. It was an age when Babe Ruth was the Bambino and the Cubs were pennant contenders. Prohibition, of course, was the big subject of the 20s. Prohibition and the flapper. A whole generation of moralists assured the whole nation that the younger generation was going to the dogs. Today, 40 years later, the flapper is a grandma, jazz is respectable. The younger generation, of course, is still going to the dogs. And then, in October of 1929, the crash. The stock market went down the drain. America went over the hill to the poorhouse, figuratively, that is. Will Rogers remarked that we were the first nation in the world to go to the poorhouse in a limousine. And radio? Well, radio became the Pied Piper to a strange new world. And now, Pierre André, would you please do us the favor of bringing in the fellow who hired you at WGN and the fellow who hired me.
That's so very true. Well, the fellow who hired me, Jack, is, of course, seated to my left, and what a story there is there. I mean, likewise, with the fellow seated to your right. But this man, seated to my left, is a man who is the father of all comic strips and the father of all soap operas. This is where it all started, believe it or not, with one Mr. Henry Selinger, and I'll never forget the thrill when I first met the gentleman in his ivory tower up on the 11th floor of the Tribune Tower, and he told me that I might come to work at WGN on a trial basis, of course. I had to prove myself good, and he had some very distinct ideas of how we should announce on WGN, and believe me, they were great ideas. Mr. Selinger, it's a thrill seeing you.
Thank you very much, Pierre. This party recalls, as it most likely should, all the wonderful times that we had in those early years. I was remarking the other day that our imagination was unlimited because we had no precedents, no traditions, and we did things which today even seem daring. When you came to our station, we had already cut our eye teeth and were beginning to enjoy some of the professional aspects of the art which we know today. I can say in all truth, Pierre, that one of the delightful times was engaging you because it added to a growing fine staff of people, and when you came, you sort of put another crown in our
fetters.
Well, that's a wonderful, wonderful compliment. And, Jack, about the fellow who hired you, you've already paid great tribute to him, and we could go on paying tribute to him for days and weeks on end, because this is really and truly one of the great names of all-time radio. Not only the greatest of all sports announcers, but that's where the word narrator started, I think. Don't you think so? We're speaking of Quinn Ryan.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the job, Quinn.
Thank you, Jack. And thank you, Pierre, and thank you, Henry. It's wonderful to see you. I wonder how many people recall also that we used to have a silent night. We all had such a contempt for money in those days. Contrary and unlike 1962, and I mean generally, not here. We used to close our radio stations down at 7 o'clock, all of the Chicago stations. Did you mention that before, Jack?
No.
So that the listeners could get what they call DX. They could listen to Seattle and Louisville and Bangor, Maine, and so on. But our station took no commercial shows at all. It was a part of the public service of the Chicago Tribune that we should spend as much as $1,000 a day to broadcast the famous Scopes Evolution Trial, where I went down a week ahead and kind of lined things up, and provide such services as even the Democratic and Republican conventions of 1928, which we broadcast independent of the NBC or CBS networks then extant. There were only three announcers at both conventions, Graham McNamee representing NBC's, Drew White representing CBS, and myself representing little old WGN. And that whole expense was borne by the Chicago Tribune and its very courageous and imaginative publisher, Colonel Robert R. McCormick. In those days, our commercials were not selling something between phonograph records. We had such commercial shows coming from New York, and we chose to pick them if they pleased our program requirements, such as the A&P Gypsies and the Ever Ready Hour and the Clico Club Eskimos. Sometimes they were the same orchestra, but they gave us only 3 minutes in every 30 minutes of commercial, and it was only institutional advertising. We'll be back now. I've talked along.
Quinn, I want you to talk along a little more here, because in addition to the famous Scopes trial, I'm sure that has to be one of your highlight memories, but there must be one or two. Well, I'm thinking now, for example, of the Dempsey-Tunney fight here. You broadcast that, didn't you, the famous
yes,
long count
yeah,
fight?
Yeah, we broadcast both Dempsey-Tunney fights, and we practiced. I don't think it's ever been done before. We spent our time trying to think of new ideas because we didn't have to make money, and we weren't making any money ourselves, so we just sat around and had a lot of fun and dreamed up things. A lot of the broadcasts that we might take credit for, and certainly I hope I don't sound like Khrushchev when I say that I was the first man to do the Kentucky Derby or the Indianapolis race, and all of those things. We did them because they had to be done, just as Commander Hillary, or whatever his name was, the great hero, climbed Mount Everest, because it was there. We broadcast these things because somebody had to do it, and we decided to be the first to do it.
Now, of course, you're talking about, too, when WGN was in the Drake Hotel, rather before they moved into the building next to Tribune Tower. What exactly was the year the WGN moved into the Drake Hotel, Mr. Salinger?
1924. Previous to that, we had a station there with the call letters of WDAP.
Uh-huh.
And when the Tribune came in, we felt grown up because the handball courts, which had been converted into radio studios and which were stifling hot in the summertime, promised to expand into two important and regular studios. So that when we did move upstairs to the two new studios, we all felt as though we had come to age.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, in 1940, this reporter got a wire in Peoria, Illinois, which said, expect call from WGN and Quinn Ryan. Remember, if asked, you have a thorough knowledge of baseball. The fellow who sent that wire and the fellow who hired me are both here, Bob Elson and Quinn Ryan. Come on in, Ace. Pull up your money belt and sit down.
Well, Jack, it's nice to see you, and that's...
Who sent the wire?
Money belt. Ryan's got the money.
This is Bob Elson and Quinn Ryan, and I'm going to duck out of here right now because all I have to do to prime the pump here, Pierre, is just say,
Quinn, come on in, you and Bob, and tell us about perhaps your most exciting moment at WGN.
Well, thank you very much, Jack. I've always been proud of the minor part I had in introducing you to the radio public fresh out of Pekin, Illinois. The reason the wire was sent was because Elson was slipping in 1938, I think. And we had to be on our guard. Somebody had to sit on top of the roof while I was doing the baseball broadcast and lag pennies and cards and bet on whether the next car going by would be a Chevrolet or a Buick. In case the lines went out, we needed somebody else to carry on in my footsteps. I would say that the noisiest broadcast ever put on by WGN was our old annual broadcast of the Indianapolis race for 7 hours, an hour before the race started and an hour after the first man came in. The toughest one to broadcast any for any man or any human being is a Kentucky Derby. If you try to get some color into the 2.5 minutes, I mean less than 2.5 minutes, the 2 minutes and some seconds in addition to the positions of the ponies. The most enjoyable, I think, was 25 years of doing the children's programs as Uncle Quinn and reading the funny paper, the first thing that I ever did, a show that I inaugurated in 1924. And the toughest, the saddest, was Newt Rockne's funeral. And I couldn't have done it without Bob Elson. The most exciting was the Scopes Evolution trial, which WGN did all alone, nobody even from New York there to broadcast the thing, and we broadcast every minute of it. All of the conventions that we did single-handed with no assistance from any network and feeding to the mutual broadcasting system. The greatest letter I ever received, and I want to turn it right back to Bob Elson because I've been talking too long as usual, was a Christmas card I got from some sweet little old lady, including a $500 bill. And I've never learned from whom I received it. What was your greatest thrill, old pal?
How are you going to top that?
Well, I tell you, Quinn, I had a lot of great thrills around GN in those early days at the Drake Hotel. I guess the greatest event I ever broadcast for GN was the famous ball game when Gabby Hartnett hit that home run out there in the dark off of Mace Brown. That won the pennant for the Cubs. But one of the greatest thrills that I used to get at GN, you know, we used to have auditions at the station. I think it was every Thursday, and would-be announcers and singers would come up, and they had 3 or 4 hours. But they had me, Henry Sullinger had me on a real dog shift in those days, when I first started. He had me there at 6 o'clock in the morning for a couple of hours, and then I did the late shows at night in the Drake, and we were up on the in the Drake Hotel, and I used to give auditions up there. They'd have to pay for it. You know, fellas would come up and say, how do you get to be an announcer? I want to be a singer. So I'd take $2, $3, anything, put them in the studio, put a light on, and let them talk their heads off, you know. So I had auditions up there every... Ryan, you didn't know that. You were my boss in those days.
That was the first payola in history.
Well, we're talking now with Quinn Ryan, and one of the truly great pioneers in radio, and also with Bob Elson. And again, we're going to pause for a moment for a news break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes then with our second half of our great WGN birthday party. Jack Brickhouse, once again, along with Pierre Andre, welcoming you back to WGN's big 40th birthday party. For the next 2 hours, lots more guests, lots more fun, and lots more fine music like this. Bob Trender, the WGN Orchestra, and another great song hit from the 1930s, I Won't Dance. Thank you. were talking a little while ago about how the 1920s ended with the stock market crash. The Great Depression, strange to say, did not greatly affect broadcasting. The radio industry was still too young to have vested interests in established financial and commercial patterns. Broadcasting was on the rise, and it continued to prosper. Even the enforced idleness of millions of unemployed meant additional listeners, and news of the presidential campaign of the early 30s made an exciting story against the background of national calamity. Big bands were the big broadcast news of the 30s. They became big news on WGN simply because the local independent station gave them regular hours for regular broadcasts. Thus, Wayne King from the Aragon Ballroom was a fixture on the WGN schedule. Fine bands from the Trianon, the Blackhawk, the Palmer House, the Drake Hotel offered notable listening. The fact is, showbiz and the band biz combined to make music of the 30s the music of a kind of golden age. By the 1930s, dramatic shows also filled many an afternoon and evening. Rube Appleberry, Painted Dreams, Gasoline Alley, Bachelor's Children, Donnie Dreamer, and many another. Chicago was for years the center of dramas, children's shows, and soap operas. Remember these sounds of the times?
Portia Faces Life, a story taken from the heart of every woman who has ever dared to love completely.
The Crime Files of Vermont.
A new file card, please, Miss Lake. Well-to-do woman, apparently rational, says an alchemist is trying to turn her into gold. Seems nervous about talking, but asked appointment at her home.
Flamand, the most unusual detective in criminal history. Flamand, famous psychologist and character analyst. Flamand, who looks beyond laughter and tears, jealousy and greed, to discover their basic origins.
It's Adventure Time with Orphan Annie. Things surely are mighty exciting for Annie these days. What's going to happen to her tonight, do you suppose? Singapore Kirby's divers have at last discovered that big bed of pearl oysters in the bottom of the lagoon. But they haven't yet had time to bring up many of the oysters because night has again fallen on the island. Monty McDonald has a plan for destroying Kirby's diving equipment and making it impossible for him to get at the oysters. To see how this daring plan works out, let's join Annie and Joe, who've crept down along the shore of the lagoon to carry out their part of the scheme.
Guess we'd better not try to get any closer, Joe. If one of those pirates happened to catch sight of something moving over here along the shore, he'd most likely come over here to investigate.
And then the fat'd be in the fire. Yeah, I think we'd better stay right here.
You know what those fellas who've been rowing back and forth from the ship to the shore are doing, don't you?
Well, we've been able to hear their oars creaking, and we can make out the shadowy figures of their boats in the dark. But as for exactly what they're doing...
They're taking the rest of our supplies on board the Black Dragon. Guess they don't want to go to the trouble of standing guard around those supplies all night tonight.
Well, they seem to be taking their time about it. Doesn't sound as if they're working very hard.
Why should they hurry? It's not a very big job, and they figure they've got hours to do it.
Yeah, and they're all in a good humor, too, since they found the oyster bed. Expecting to get out there on the lagoon tomorrow morning and bring up dozens of great big pearls.
It'd be funny if the professor's experiment had failed and there weren't any pearls in those oysters at all.
Well, I'll bet the experiment hasn't failed. Wait, just this morning the professor was saying...
Wait a minute, Joe. We better do a little less talking and a little more listening. By now, Monty has had time to slip in among those pirates.
I wonder, whatever did happen to Annie? Well, we'll find out in just a minute, because we've got Annie herself and all the gang right here in the studio with us now.
Who's the little chatterbox, the one with pretty auburn locks? Whom do you see? It's little orphan Annie. She and Sandy make a pair. They never seem to have a care. Cute little she, this little orphan Annie. Bright eyes, cheeks of rosy glow. There's a store of healthiness handy. My size always on the go. If you want to know, access Sandy. Always wears a sunny smile. Now wouldn't it be worth the while if you could be like little orphan Annie?
Well, suffering sunfish. Here they are. Shirley Bell. Yes, sir, Shirley, how old were you when you became radio's little orphan Annie?
Well, leaping lizards, Pierre. Hearing all those voices and things, it makes me think I'm back to where I was when I began.
Well, how would you like that?
I don't know. Let's play it today.
Oh, you should see this doll now.
Thank you.
This has been a long time. There's been a lot of water under the bridge, but it hasn't changed her very much. And Lauren Salerno, still in great voice. And, well, I don't know. We could talk so much about Annie. I mean, books should be written about it, I suppose. But the one thing that I think I'll never forget, Shirley, is the time that Frank Dahm, of course, was the first writer on it.
Yes.
And was for a long time. And he used to write the show the morning of the performance. You remember?
Oh, that was a frequent occasion.
I wonder if you remember this one particular instance. I met Frank over at the Tribune Tower. He says, come on, you're going over to the show? That's when we were doing it over at the Merchandise Mart.
Yes. Uh-huh.
He said, let's take the boat over. They used to run those little gasoline launches over there at that time. So we got on this little boat, and Frank was carrying a large manila envelope, and as we got off, he dropped the envelope into the water and said, oh, my God, we've got to get this. I said, well, what's so important about that? He says, those are today's scripts.
I'd like to ask a question here. I wonder how many people who listened knew that the fellow who was the voice singing that theme for Little Orphan Annie was also the very famous Neapolitan baritone of song, a star in his own right, Lawrence.
Oh, yes, we were going to get to that, of course. You know, when I first came to Chicago, this man was probably the greatest matinee idol of them all. He used to sing with the old Gene Goldkett band, and I'll never forget him singing, "What is this thing called love?" And then he'd go to these native Italiano folk songs that he did so beautifully. Maybe we can get him to sing a song for us later on, yes, brother.
Lawrence, did you ever forget the words to Little Orphan Annie?
Yes, many times.
How about that? What's the story?
The story is that after 7 years of doing it from memory, I went to NBC, the place where we broadcast. I started the song, and about the middle of it, I forgot the words. I continued, but I still don't remember what I said. And I thought I was sleepy, and I said, well, I'm not going to let this thing get me. So I tried for another month, and it happened again. So I played safe. I wrote the words, and I used them from that time on.
Well, Shirley, what are some of the things you like to remember about Annie?
Oh, Pierre, there are so many wonderful things to remember. Just being here today has churned up more memories than I can count.
You still drink your Ovaltine?
I can't say that I do. I don't need it.
How did you get the job, Shirley?
Well, this is kind of an involved story. I'll try to make it as brief as possible. I had actually started in radio on WGN before Orphan Annie began, they did a weekly series, plays, half-hour dramas, once a week, and whenever they needed a juvenile voice, I was the one they called. I did this for 3 years before Orphan Annie began. And this, of course, was the day before, in the days before they had access to other talent. So I more or less had the drop, so to speak.
You were all of seven, as I recall, when you first started in radio, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, that's when we first met, too, Pierre.
Well, Shirley now is Mrs. Irwin Cole. She lives out in Highland Park. She has Glencoe. Quite a family. Is it Glencoe?
It's Glencoe.
No, tell us about your family, Shirley.
Well, don't get me started on that. There isn't enough time. Seriously, though, I have three daughters, and they're wonderful gals. If I were to say more, I would sound like a very proud mother. So,
are they dramatically inclined at all?
I don't know about dramatically inclined, but they seem to have talent that they may further themselves someday. I hope they do.
Lawrence, I understand that you gave a concert as early as late as last year, rather.
That's right. That's right. I sang, and I enjoyed it very, very much. Every once in a while I do that, and I get a big kick out of it.
Otherwise, what are you doing right now these days?
At the present time, nothing. Just taking it easy.
You see, these fellas made their money back in the days when you could keep it. You can
tell
that, can't you,
Pierre? We should live that kind of a life. He just took a trip around the world, just got back.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
It was a lot of fun.
That's Lawrence, I remember one of the first assignments I had at WGN was to introduce you and put you on for 15 minutes once a week, I believe it was, wasn't it?
That's right.
And your theme was, what is it now?
Mariana was one.
Mariana.
And I believe when Len Salva wasn't playing the organ, a young fellow who just played the organ for you just now,
that's
Harold
right,
Turner played that
right.
theme.
He did it. He did it too.
Do you remember Len? Did you see him
in
California?
Oh, yes. I saw him on the West Coast when I was there about a year ago.
Shirley, do you listen to radio much today?
I certainly do, just like every other person, I'm sure.
Listen to WGN?
Of course. And why not?
Well, we've been looking forward to this for a long time, Shirley, hoping to get you back to the microphone. You have no idea how many people call me during the course of a year wanting to know where you are, what you were doing, who sang the theme on Little Orphan Annie, people who remember that show so well, better than you and I believe.
Well, it's very flattering, I'm sure.
Say, if you build a better turkey, the world will beat a path to your door. Now, that's what happened to the Acoma folks, who have built a better turkey in every delicious Acoma boneless turkey roast. Each roast, you know, is made from solid turkey meat from the favorite parts of the bird, solid breast and thigh meat, combined in natural proportions, and then wrapped in natural skin with all the juices retained. Now, because it's boneless, an Acoma roast is equivalent to the sliceable meat of a whole turkey three times its weight. Now, for instance, a 4-pound roast is equivalent to a 12-pound whole turkey, and each roast cooks in almost half the time of turkey. Now, with all this convenience, economy, and downright good eating, no wonder Acoma turkey roasts are proving so popular that in many cases, all the roasts displayed in your grocer's freezer are quickly picked up. Now, should your grocer be sold out the day you shop, be sure you ask again the next time and discover why Acoma boneless turkey roasts have become such a sensational favorite with Chicago housewives.
What better way, Pierre, for this segment than to introduce it with some dialogue from Orphan Annie, then the interview with Orphan Annie herself, and then a wind-up with a song, one of the songs that was one of his truly great sock numbers by Lawrence Salerno, which he's going to do for us right now on the road to Mandalay.
I can hardly wait.
By the old moon pagoda, looking eastward to the sea, there's a Burma girl sat in, and I know she thinks of me. For the wind is in the palm trees, and the temple bells, they say, come you back, you British soldier, come you back to Mandalay, come you back to Mandalay, come you back to Mandalay, where the old flotilla lay. Can't you hear their paddle chanting? from Rangoon to Mandalay. On the road to Mandalay, where the flying fishes play, and the dawn comes up like thunder out of China. Cross the bay.
Well, that was wonderful, Lawrence. Say, Jack and Lawrence, here's probably something that you never heard about Annie, but you know how it is when you get working on a show for a long time and you begin to feel your oats a little bit and you think that you can do just a little bit more than you're already doing? That happened to me once, and I thought that I would like to be written in as an actor, and so I asked Frank Dahm if he would write me in, I mean, so that I might do a dramatic bit. And so he did. He wrote me in as a Hindu cab driver, and I said, yes, sahib, 16 times on the show. The familiar music of the Miller High Life song reminds millions of the clear, cool, refreshingly perfect taste of Miller High Life beer. Here's another reminder for you right now. Your Chicago store is featuring Miller High Life 6-can packs of 12-ounce cans. Buy now chill cans of Miller High Life. This is a rare opportunity to enjoy the finest genuine Milwaukee beer. Enjoy life with Miller High Life. Buy Miller High Life in 6 packs of 12-ounce cans. Some good taste everywhere because it's brewed only in Milwaukee naturally. There's only one man who plays violin like that, and he's been a WGN favorite for I don't know how many years, a favorite of everyone's, Jack's, mine, Mr. Ward Quall, everyone connected with the station, and for, oh, so many, many years. I'm referring, of course, to Ralph Ginsberg. Ralph, may we welcome you.
Thank you, Pierre. It's a thrilling day for me to meet all my wonderful friends here from way back when. It's a wonderful day.
You know, Pierre, you know, it just occurred to me that a fella could tell that he was getting somewhere on the announcing staff of WGN if he finally got to the place where they would trust him to go down and work Ginsberg, because that's what they thought of the show. And I remember a young announcer named Brickhouse. I know another one by the name of Ward Quall, and another one by the name of Ed Allen, who's now a station manager up in Sturgeon Bay and is down here to say hello to us today. All announcers at WGN who thought, well, we're finally following in the tradition of Pierre Andre now because we get to work Ralph Ginsberg.
Where did you get the dinner jacket?
I borrowed mine.
Well, Ralph, it seems like just yesterday that we were down at the Palmer House on the occasion of another celebration, one of your own. How many years was that at the Palmer House?
That was my 35th anniversary.
35th anniversary, just think.
I was so happy to see you, our announcer that day.
What are some of the highlights that you recall during your great stay at the Palmer House?
Well, of course, I met many wonderful celebrities and great people like Charlie Dawes, the Vice President of the United States. Also, one time when the Golden Gate of San Francisco was to be opened, I received a letter from Mayor Rossi. He had a special number written, Silver Moon Over the Golden Gate, and he asked me to play it. And then we played it. We played it for several weeks, and I received a wonderful letter from him with many documents proclaiming me a Caballero.
Ralph, we've got many another Ginsberg song around here, too. And here's one, Mimi. We We've had a precious moment or two with Ralph Ginsberg, who for years has been a real tradition at the Palmer House. And we're going to continue with our 40th birthday celebration at WGN. But again, in keeping with our policy of service and news up to the minute, we're going to break for a couple of minutes of news.
WGN Radio, Chicago.
Roman meal bread gives you something extra. Roman meal bread is so good. Extra pep and extra flavor. Roman meal bread is so good.
The most tempting treat ever to come out of an oven. Roman meal bread.
So good.
In sandwiches.
Time, 3:30.
Get new Poise paint by O'Brien. Never before such high quality at such a low price. Only $4.69 a gallon.
WGN News is on the air. Here are the late news headlines brought to you by the Chicago Tribune, Vince Lloyd reporting. Paul Muehlig, one of three men who escaped from the witness quarters of the Cook County Jail, has been captured by FBI agents. He was taken into custody in Chicago after returning to the city from Dayton, Ohio. Thomas Blanchard, a county jail prisoner facing a murder charge who escaped from county hospital last night, was captured today in Melrose Park. Russian Premier Khrushchev says U.S. forces in Thailand will be driven out in time. Secretary of State Rusk says the crisis in Southeast Asia could be ended quickly if Russia would leave the area alone. Senator Carl Mundt of South Dakota says two Texas congressmen intervened to restore cotton allotments to indicted Texas financier Billy Saul Estes. The Illinois Public Aid Commission says public aid rolls increased by almost 5,000 persons in March. The temperature in Chicago rose to a daily record for the fifth consecutive day today. It was 93 degrees at 1 p.m. This was the fifth straight day the mercury climbed into the 90s. We'll have a look at the late weather forecast in a moment. According to one of the handsome stars of TV's Checkmate series, it's tough trying to stay single. But he thinks he has a solution. He'd like to form a group known as Bachelors Anonymous. For details of how it would work, see TV Week magazine with tomorrow's Chicago Daily Tribune. TV Week, you know, is a quality program magazine printed on high-grade enamel paper. For some ideas on how a good-looking bachelor can escape matrimony, see TV Week with tomorrow's Chicago Daily Tribune. The weather partly cloudy and very warm this afternoon with a chance of a thundershower, a high in the mid-90s, lower near the lake. The present official temperature is 92 degrees. And these have been the late news headlines brought to you by the Chicago Tribune. The next news at 4 on WGN Radio, Chicago.
More, Millicent, more.
What do you want me to do, Mary? Drown this poor defenseless chicken in accent?
No, of course not, Millicent, but that's your trouble.
Oh? What's that?
Well, if your chicken is tasteless, you don't use enough accent.
Really?
Instead of shaking it on, why don't you try measuring it?
Okay, here's a spoon. How much?
Well, let's see. This broiler fryer must weigh about 2 pounds, so we'll need 2 teaspoons of accent.
Hmm. Say, I wonder how much you'd use on a 112-pound chicken.
Oh, Millicent, you are a character.
The point is, ladies, be sure to use enough accent. 1 teaspoon per pound brings out all the natural, sweet, delicate flavor of chicken. Even the white meat tastes juicy. What accent does for chicken, it also does for spring vegetables, too. Get a large-size red package of accent for a wonderful world of flavor through seasoning.
WGN's birthday party rolling right along, our 40th birthday. And right now, music of the 40s. Bob Friendler taking the whole WGN orchestra along on an old-fashioned walk.
Thank you.
here at Comiskey Park, the pitcher's on the mound, the batter's in the box, there's the umpire.
Play ball!
The White Sox are playing a game today. Come out and get out in the air. You'll forget your troubles watching singles and doubles as the Sox hit the ball from everywhere. And it's a wonderful way to get away from it all when the umpire yells, play ball! There's plenty of action, the crowd is tense. There goes a long one over the fence. So go, 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 you White Sox. Let's have another win today. They're all game in that ball game. Come on and watch your White Sox play.
Tonight, the White Sox meet Baltimore. Come on out for all the thrills. Game time, 8 o'clock tonight at exciting Comiskey Park. Well, a little while back, we mentioned well-wishers on this, our 40th anniversary. Here's another one, the Honorable Richard J. Daley, Mayor of Chicago.
It's hard to believe it's been 40 years, but it is. It's 40 years now that Chicago's been hearing the call letters WGN, first from the Edgewater Beach, then from the Drake Hotel, then from the Tribune Square, and today from the most modern radio television installation in America. We've heard the call letters identifying super programs of news, music, sports, and entertainment. In sensing the spirit, bringing us the color, reporting the pride and progress of this city, WGN, the Chicago Tribune station, has done a magnificent job of creation and coverage. And in serving from yesterday's crystal set to today's most extensive telecast of color television, WGN has been with us and of us and for us. As mayor of Chicago, I extend my congratulations and my admiration. WGN not only has kept the pace, but it has kept the faith, our faith, and the faith of every Chicagoan in a fairer and a finer city.
Thank you, Mayor Daley. When you think back to radio during the 1940s, there are certain voices you'll never forget, certain sounds, certain songs, certain entertainers that made show business history. See how many you can remember. See how many you...
I'll never forget those unforgettable, never to be forgotten. Memories.
My time is your time. Your time is my time.
Hi-ho, everybody. This is Rudy Vallis.
If you knew Susie like I know Susie. Oh, 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 what a girl.
Darling, je vous aime beaucoup. Je ne sais pas what to do. Vous avez completely stolen my heart.
Now when my baby smiles at me, well, my folks go roaming to paradise. And when my baby smiles at me all day, there's such a wonderful life comes to her eyes.
When the moon comes over the mountain, every beam brings a dream here of you.
Shoeshine boy, you work hard all day. Shoeshine boy, got no time to play. Every nickel helps a lot. So shine, shine, shoe shine, boy.
He's not so good in a crowd. When you get him alone, you'd be surprised. He isn't much of a dance, but then when he takes you home, you'd be surprised.
When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. When you're laughing, when you're laughing, The sun comes shining through.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marion Clare with a cordial invitation to the Chicago Theater of the Air.
Produced by Marion Clare, conducted by Robert Trendler, written and directed by Jack LaCrondre, Mutual presents the Chicago Theater of the Air, radio's greatest hour of music and drama. Tonight's production, Rose Marie, with music by Rudolph Rimmel, book and lyrics by Otto Harbach. Starred in the singing roles are Nancy Carr and Henry Noel, and the dramatic cast features Marion Clare and Everett Clark.
Never to be forgotten.
Never to be forgotten.
Never to be forgotten memories.
Yes?
Ma'am, your neighbors say that you and your husband are the happiest couple on the block. Doesn't anything ever make you mad?
Me? No, I never get mad.
How about when your husband goes out and plays poker till 4 in the morning?
Well, boys will be boys. No, that doesn't make me mad.
How about when he plays golf the whole weekend?
Well, that's not so tragic. No, that doesn't make me mad.
Well, how about when he buys a new car? Then you find out he could have saved $300.
Oh, that makes me mad.
Yes, who wouldn't get mad when you find out you made a $300 mistake? Shop around for the best price. Don't say you can't buy a new Chevy for less till you see Frank. See how much America's largest Chevrolet dealer can save you. Yes, take it from Jack Quinlan. Get the Z Frank price and save. Z Frank, 6116 Northwestern Avenue or 2050 Peterson Avenue, Z Frank's giant used car center.
Oh. The time in 10 seconds is going to be 3, 43, and 30 seconds. Whiz! Best candy bar there is. And the best radio and television columnists there is are sitting right here. They're in Chicago. We have Larry Walters of the Chicago Tribune and Bill Irwin of Chicago's American. And Larry and Bill, it's so wonderful to have you fellas. Here are two real veterans of their craft who've been listening to radio from another angle for a long, long time.
Jack, why don't you ask them, first of all, what they think of the future of soap opera?
Has the show so far stirred up some memories for you?
It's been great. Really wonderful. Lots of humorous overtones. Looking at the soap operas in retrospect, it seems like they were even more fun than they were then.
And, of course, Bill got off to a good running start in his career in this town because he worked for the Tribune at one time, and now he's with Chicago's American, which is the world's greatest afternoon newspaper.
Well, thank you, Jack.
How about memories for you, Bill?
It certainly has stirred up a lot of memories, meeting all these fellows again and broadcasting the great names and hearing them tell about the old times. It certainly has stirred up a lot of memories.
Do you recall Sam and Henry, Larry?
Yes, but they were no longer Sam and Henry. I arrived in 1929 on the scene, and they'd already moved over and become Amos and Andy.
Well, they were already famous then.
Yes.
By the time you caught up with them.
Through the years, every once in a while, I run into them in Hollywood, and Freeman Gosden always says, whenever we come through Chicago, whatever we're doing, we pull up in front of Tribune Tower, get out of the cab, and bow lowly.
Say, Jack, I think Larry is the fellow who could give us the red-headed music maker story. Wendell Hall, he knew him better than anyone, I guess. How did he get his start, Larry?
I believe that he started as a xylophonist. What I wanted to say is that about him, on the week after I became radio editor, he was then the head of a variety hour. You may remember something called the Mighty Monarch of the Air, the radio of those years. On that Sunday, one of the first pieces that I wrote had to do with his introducing George Gershwin in his first radio appearance, and also Helen Morgan and William S. Hart on the same show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a sizable... Mm,
I would say
sizable.
So. Larry, how many years have you been covering them?
32, almost 33 years.
And Bill?
Well, it's about 30 years, I would say, 28 to 30 years.
Well, you fellows have seen radio grow up then.
Sure have.
Can you remember the first set you had to listen to in order to write your columns?
Well, it was a great big piece of furniture that almost as big or bigger than the old television sets, and didn't have the little transistors like they have now that you can carry around in your pocket.
You didn't have to use headphones. Did you use the gooseneck speaker, though?
I had the gooseneck
speaker.
The super?
That's right.
We actually had a Mighty Monarch of the Air, it was called, and no, I think they're gone now. That company is no longer in existence.
Who were some of the first stars in radio that you became personally acquainted with?
Well, Ed East and Ralph Dumpke on the station, and of course Lawrence Salerno. A little later, Bob Elson. Well, Pat Flanagan. No, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Pat Barnes was around.
Pat Barnes
was there. Clara Lou and M.
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, we should have mentioned that Henry Selinger started them in business.
That's true.
That right?
Yes.
And Bill, who were some of your first personal acquaintances?
Well, I think they covered some of the ones that Larry named there, and also Marion and Jim Jordan.
Good Peoria pair.
That's right. Harold Peary and Don Ameche and fellows like that, people like that.
Did your approach to radio in those days, I'm talking about the critic's approach, vary much from what it is today?
I don't think that we reviewed or criticized as much as we did. We just accepted it. Whatever came on, we talked about. And I think maybe we were a little kinder then than we sometimes are today.
Was your column as well read, we'll say? Was the radio column as important to a newspaper reader as it is today?
I think so. Very definitely.
Were you surprised to find that it was?
Well, in a way, yes, in a way, no, because I think after many surveys that were taken by readership, by the papers, they found, much to their surprise, I think, in a lot of instances, that the radio columns were very well read.
Do you agree with Ward Quall that the best years for radio still lie ahead?
I think so.
Larry, do you agree?
I think possibly, yes.
Well, I'm sure glad to hear you say it, because these are the fellows to whom superlatives don't come too easily.
That's so
and
true.
And if they go all out, it's simply because it rates it. Bill Irwin, Larry Walters of Chicago's American and the Chicago Tribune, thank you very much for the great years you have devoted to radio from your positions.
Thank you, Jack.
Thanks for a very happy afternoon.
Igor, you've stolen the plans to the Z-bomb. You are world's greatest spy.
Why, you are not happy?
I wonder how they do it.
But now we know how they do it.
No, Blocky. I wonder how they get the bones out of a comb of boneless turkey roast.
You mean the quick frozen turkey roast that cooks in less time than ordinary turkey, all breast and thigh meat, no waste at all? The leader would like that.
It's the best kept secret of all. Ready to cook a comb of boneless turkey roast with no carving. You slice as much fine turkey meat as you find in a bird, three times its weight.
Look, Igor! It's secret police! We are surrounded! Singing.
What boneless turkey makes the guests cheer the host? A comb of boneless turkey roast. The boneless turkey name winning fame from coast to coast. A comb of boneless turkey roast. A comb of boneless turkey roast.
I wonder how they get the bones out.
You know, Pierre was supposed to introduce this next bunch, but suddenly we did a double take, and when he realized that the fellow who originated the barn dance is the fellow who started me in radio back in Peoria, Edgar Bill, God rest his soul, and gave me a foundation so I could come to WGN, they thought maybe it better be Brickhouse's job to bring on the barn dance crew. And what a pleasure it is, because this is like a letter from home for me, as I bring you Dolph Hewitt and the Sage Riders, the stars of the WGN barn dance.
Thank you.
Deep within my heart lies a melody, a song of old, sad and tall, where in dreams I live with a memory beneath the stars all alone. It was there I found beside the Alamo, enchantment strange as it blew up above, a moonlit path that only she would know. Still hears my broken song of love. Moon in all your splendor, rolls only my heart. Call back my rolls of sand and gold. Lips so sweet and tender, like petals falling apart. Speak once again of my love, my own. Broken song, empty words I know, still live in my heart all alone. For that moonlit path by the Alamo, and rolls my rolls of Santo, and rolls my rolls of Santo.
Honey makes the flavor extra sunny in Nabisco sugar honey graham crackers.
Try Nabisco sugar honey grahams.
The music you're listening to right now is the music of Wayne King, one of the many great band leaders who for many years was such an integral part of the WGN program schedule. WGN listener, heard live, not on tape or recordings, the really great bands and orchestras of our time. There was Hal Kemp, Kay Kaiser, Bernie Cummins, Eddie Howard, Jack Hilton, Jack Chapman, Ted Fiorito, Clyde McCoy, Ralph Ginsberg, Anson Weeks, Charlie Agnew, Bob Crosby, Jan Garber, King Cole, Ted Weems, Art Jarrett, Seymour Simon, Art Castle, Guy Lombardo, Coon Sanders, Paul Whiteman, Victor Young, Shep Fields, Ben Burney, Glenn Gray, and Dick Juergens, and many, many more. On this, our 40th anniversary, perhaps you'd like to share with me some of the greetings we've received. Congratulations on the completion of 40 years of wonderful public service. We in my profession owe much to WGN, and I personally will always be grateful. Live on forever. Signed, Wayne King. My best to you on your 40th anniversary and to all of the staff of WGN. Many happy returns of the day. Signed, Eddie Howard. And the old professor himself, Kay Kaiser, sent this greeting. Your 40th anniversary affords an excellent opportunity to thank you again for your invaluable past help. Gratefully, James K. Kaiser. Music and memories and WGN Radio. A wonderful combination.
Jane, this room is beautiful.
We used O'Brien's new poise wall paint.
New what paint?
Poise. P-O-I-S-E.
Well, I don't know what paint we used, but we had to do our room twice this year.
This job will last for years. You can't beat O'Brien quality.
Fine, but John and I have to watch our pennies.
What do you think we paid for this new Poise paint?
Oh, heaven knows.
Only $4.69 a gallon.
What? Why, that's less than we paid for cut-price bargain paint.
Here, look at this Poise ad. It says, never before, such high-quality paint at such a low price. Poise paint is easy to use. Dries in 30 minutes. Washable, durable, hundreds of colors. Just clean brushes under the faucet. And your complete satisfaction guaranteed or your money back.
Imagine, only $4.69 a gallon for new Poise wall paint. And it's by O'Brien.
You can find your nearest O'Brien paint dealer on page 1370 of the Yellow Pages. Well, welcome as we reminisce a little bit on our WGN 40th birthday show. And visiting with us today is one of our colleagues, a fellow who, along with Pierre and the rest of us, we had a lot of fun together working on staff here.
He was the first one to have his own dinner jacket.
He was one of our wealthier colleagues. Seniority can do that for you. This is Ed Allen, who now operates WDOR in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin. He was an announcer and suddenly turned legitimate.
Well, Jack and Pierre, I think it's just wonderful to be here and reminisce with you fellas. I remember so many, many things. I started back in 1935 after losing two auditions. And one of these I was rather bitter about because I needed the job very much at the time. And do you remember Tom Bilta?
Oh, yes.
Well, Tom was fresh out of the university, Northwestern University, and he said, I have never taken an audition before. I noticed some of you fellas are marking your script. Would you help me mark mine? So I said, sure. I figured he's a novice. I'd had about 4 or 5 years experience before that. And he was selected. He got the job.
Ed, there must have been some great memories being stirred up in your mind as you listen to this show and watch these people parade by.
Yes, there certainly were. I got to thinking of an act that I worked with for such a long time. In fact, for 5 years. You remember Tom, Dick, and Harry?
Well, I remember. When you left, I worked with him.
Bob Trendler worked with him for a long time, too. Remember those fellas?
Yes.
Well, that's how I got my job here. I received a call to come to WGN to try out for a program, and when I got here, they said they had a sort of a wild act, and they had used up quite a few announcers, including Bob Elson. They wore him out. The first program, if I remember right, was at 11 o'clock on March the 11th, 1935, on the 11th floor of Tribune Tower. I remember those 311s. And I had heard of Tom, Dick, and Harry, but I didn't know what they did to announcers.
They turned out the lights in the studio so they couldn't read their copy.
Yes, and then they burned matches against my shoes.
Yes, and of course, I can remember a more serious moment in your career here. Weren't you the announcer on duty at the time that Pearl Harbor struck?
Yes, I was the first to give the news of the Pearl Harbor attack on a Sunday afternoon.
Well, God forbid you should ever have to announce another one, Ed. But thanks very much for the pleasant experience of having been a colleague of yours, too.
Well, Jack, it's been wonderful to be here. I hope to see you on as many more years.
Thank you. Ed Allen of WDOR now in Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin. As a matter of fact, he kind of takes it easy, and his two sons are running the place.
That's
They're
right.
big enough
sure,
to be announcers
he
now,
any work. He's just...
Of course, you know, Pierre's got one who's ready to support him pretty soon. David works here. And we'll be back with the final hour of our WGN 40th birthday show right after the news break.
This is WGN Chicago, radio home of millions throughout Mid-America.
You get the product you like, get happy motoring, happy and cosine. You get the values you want, get happy motoring, happy and cosine.
Find products, values, service too. Your Enco dealer has them all for you.
So why don't you stop where more people stop, at the happy motoring sign.
The world's first choice.
Looking for the most pleasure and performance from your car? Save money too? Try this combination. Enco Extra, the high-energy gasoline that frees engine power for smooth performance and economy. And Uniflow, world's first and still finest multi-grade motor oil. Outstanding products of Humble, America's leading energy company.
At the ENCO, yes sir, Enco.
The happy
friendly motoring sign. 'Tis the world's first choice.
Hubbard with you now as our big WGN birthday party rolls right along at Studio 3 of the Mid-America Broadcast Center. More guests, more fun, and more great music yet to come as Bob Trender and the WGN Orchestra get us to the church on time. Big news for folks with distinctive thirst. You can take home the handy six-pack of Miller High Life beer in 12-ounce cans featured now at beverage stores all over Chicago. Here's your chance to really enjoy life with Miller High Life, to taste the golden goodness that comes only with a champagne of bottled beer. Make Miller High Life your number one choice in refreshment. Take home the six-can pack being featured now at your beverage store today. And you'll find an extra measure of refreshment pleasure in this beer that has the same good taste everywhere. Remember, too, Miller High Life is brewed only in Milwaukee, naturally.
Say, old Hub, that Trendler plays the most unusual arrangement of Buck Dance I've ever heard.
Doesn't he, though? And I wondered why you showed up so early for rehearsal today, Jack. You've been here 2 hours in advance of our show. It isn't often on the Brick House Hubbard Show we have young ladies to introduce like this to actually perform live and in person. And we have her up here once again now, Gloria Vann. I enjoy being a girl.
I'm a girl, and by me that's only great. I am proud that my silhouette is curvy, that I walk with a sweet and girlish gait, with my hips kind of swivelly and swervy. I adore being dressed in something frilly. When my date comes to get me at my place, out I go with my Joe or John or Billy, like a filly who is ready for the race. When I have a brand new hairdo, with my eyelashes all in curls, I float as the clouds on air do. I enjoy being a girl. When men say I'm cute and funny, and my teeth aren't teeth but pearls, I just lap it up like honey. I enjoy being a girl. I flip when a fella sends me flowers. I drool over dresses made of lace. I talk on the telephone for hours, with a pound and a half of cream upon my face. I'm strictly a female, female, and my future I hope will be in the home of the brave and free male who'll enjoy being a guy, having a girl. Bye.
Excuse me, you own this automobile hospital?
Yes, I'm the head surgeon. Can't stop now, though. I'm operating on a car here, amputating a crushed fender. Torch?
Torch.
Neat incision. You must be the best auto surgeon in the city. I'm from a research firm, and we'd like your opinion of driving to work.
Greatest thing that's happened to me since the icy intersection. Keeps me busy day and night.
You're in favor of driving to work, then?
Definitely. It's given me a chance to perfect my surgical technique. Some of these new cars are a real challenge.
I'll bet. Do you drive to work, sir?
What, me drive? Don't be ridiculous. I ride to CTA.
You do?
Certainly.
Certainly.
An auto surgeon can't operate if he gets to work all tensed up from fighting traffic. I let the CTA do the driving, so I can relax and read my paper.
I should have known.
Besides, the $500 a year I save on gas and parking is helping put my son through auto surgeon school.
Funny, more people don't quit driving and ride the CTA.
Knock that stuff off, buddy. You want to ruin my practice?
Well, Hub, the future of radio lies, just as it always did, in fresh new talent, such as the talent we have right now. The star of La Plume de Matin, Robert Clary. Robert Clary with All By Myself.
I'll go my way by myself. Here's how the comedy ends. I'll have to deny myself love and laughter and friends. Gray clouds in the sky above have put a blot on my fun. I'll have to fly high above for a place in the sun. I'll face the unknown. I'll build a world of my own. No one knows better than I myself. I'm by myself alone. I'll go my way by myself. This is the end of romance. I'll go my way by myself. Love is only a dance. I'll try to apply myself and teach my heart how to sing. I'll go my way by myself, like a bird on the wing. I'll face the unknown. I'll build a little world of my own. No one knows better than I myself. I'm by myself. I'm by myself. I'm by myself alone.
Roving reporter Buzz Randall again at McCormick Place for the year's biggest political rally. Senator Foghorn, you're the only one here.
All gone, son. Sportsman's Park night harness racing. That's the in-town track, minutes from anywhere. And dinner in the beautiful Saddle and Sulky Room starts Wednesday, May 23rd.
Sounds like a campaign speech, Senator.
It is a campaign, son, to get folks out for an evening of fun at the most exciting sport in the world, night harness racing at Sportsman's Park.
Senator, where are you going?
To make the daily double at Sportsman's Park, son, for the big opening of night harness racing on Wednesday, May 23rd. Sportsman's Park, that is, son.
Well, it's a very good number. Bobby, appreciate
you
coming over to our party.
Thank you. I love to do a radio show because you can close your eyes. You don't have to worry about the television cameras. You can put your shoes off and come. You don't have to shave anything.
Yes, but you're really belting it out there.
Well,
you're
going to all the emotions. You know. Did I really? It was all inside.
Really killing them in the control room.
It's
man.
A method acting, really.
Eddie, I was just telling Robert Clary that I consider myself certainly one of the world's leading authorities on Robert Clary. Because I saw new faces three times, and I'd seen La Plume de Matin twice.
It's because you liked
the
kid
the
and Lillian Montevecchi, that's why.
Well, I wouldn't say that would make me eccentric.
No, it wouldn't.
But the fact is that I'm probably, Bob, the only other guy here alongside of you who knows the words to Lucky Pierre or I'm in love with Miss Logan.
I was just going to ask. He probably kept going back to see how that love affair finally turned out. That's
Well, a lot of people ask me, are you in love with Miss, what's her name there? Miss Smith, I said once in a while.
Bob is a young fellow who still has a good solid background in show business. After all, The New Faces was in 1952. That means you've been around for at least 10 years, but you're still young, fresh talent.
Well, I started when I was New Faces, I was 12, and now I'm 15, and I started in show business 25 years ago.
Were you brought over for that role in The New
No,
Faces?
No, I was brought from France in 1949. I did some recordings in 1947 in France. I was singing with an orchestra at that time. I did not speak English. I was taught words and phonetics. And it was quite successful in America in 1948, and they brought me from France. The recording was Johnny Get Your Girl, and on the other side was Put Your Shoes On, Lucy.
Did a fellow by the name of Milt Blank have anything
yes,
to do with
that? Yes, he brought me. That's right. He was that. A standard radio transcription, and he recorded me and brought me from That's France, right. And we haven't spoken to each other since then.
He speaks well of you.
Yes,
really
no, I'm just kidding.
Well, Bob, how's La Plume de Matant going?
It's doing all right. We're staying here indefinitely at the Mac Vickers. I don't know how long we will stay. We hope to stay all through the summer.
It's a great show.
If the people come to see us, we will. If not, goodbye, Chicago.
Now, where did you learn to hoof? Where did you learn to act? Where did you learn pantomime, which I think is probably a natural gift of some...
Well, I haven't gone to special schools for it. I've been in the business since I'm a little kid, and I think it came instinctively with me, and that's the way. Then by opening my eyes and ears and watching other people, I think that's... And by working, mostly, that's when you learn. I think that's the best schooling, at least for me it was.
I've always contended that one of the reasons the French people are such great pantomimists and have such great talent and do so well, and there are many of you, is because you have to trade elbow grease, mental and physical, and hard work for budget, because you can't buy wardrobe and you don't have big sets and things like that, and you have to just work.
Well, that's one conception of it. I think we just we love to talk with our hands and facial gestures, and that's I guess facial gesture. That's a very good word.
You mean just animated people?
Yes,
generally,
yes, like Italians also. You know, we are automatically very animated, and that's what comes naturally with us, I guess.
You know something? It actually comes out on radio. Radio too. A fellow can listen to you sing, and many people from France and Italy, and you can almost see those expressions.
I think what you've seen, Bob, work that you can really. I mean, uh-huh. I can. I got a kick. We just got the back view of you here. You see, the folks in this area had the front view of you working, and it's you put a lot into the song. No question about it.
Bob, what about your future now? Of course,
what about my future? That's a good question.
Well, let me ask you this: in France, for example. Were there opportunities for a young fellow future-wise in radio?
Well, in radio, I guess there is opportunity. Not as much. Naturally, it's a much smaller country, and radio is owned by the government. I mean, it's sponsorship by the government. I think there's less opportunity than there is in America. But I think that if a person becomes a big star in France, he will stay longer a big star than it will in America.
Why is that?
Because it will take them longer to become a big star, and once the public bought you, you know, buys you, and then it'll take them a long time. Because they like you, then they won't throw you out like an old shoe.
Good example might be Piaf.
Yes. Yes, that's right. She took a long time to become a big star. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about some of the Johnny-come-latelys that we have from time to time? Bob, they get a hit record, and all of a sudden, after a couple of months, you don't hear of them anymore. You have those flash sensations over there, too?
I don't think you have it as much. I've been in this country now for the past practically 14 years, so I really don't know about the young generation, mm-hmm. but I know a lot of people like Jacqueline Francois and Yves Montand are the stars who are here to stay.
Haven't you been back to visit, even?
Well, I go back to visit, but very shortly. Goodbye, folks.
No. He picked up our American cues.
Oh, yes, always. I'm very aware. That's
well, you're not going to go away, Bob. We want you to do another number for us, if you don't mind.
Oh, you don't really want me to.
Yes, we do.
I'll do it.
You know, usually it's a very high-class show. We usually give walking music. This is driving music while you get to the microphone.
Within the next few weeks, a number of people will pay the price of a Cadillac without getting one. Simply because they had neglected to get some basic facts from the authorized Cadillac dealer. Facts like these, for example. Fact number one, 11 models of other makes cost more than the lowest priced Cadillac, and Cadillac is attractively close to dozens of others. Fact number two, the base price of a Cadillac includes hydromatic, power steering, power brakes, and other popular equipment that is optional at extra cost on other cars. Fact number three, your present car is very likely worth more than you think in trade on a new Cadillac, especially this spring when your authorized Cadillac dealer is anxious to welcome new owners among his growing list of loyal customers. So why not get the facts and discover how easily you may soon be enjoying the beauty, distinction, comfort, performance, and luxury of the car of cars. You may be closer to a Cadillac than you think.
Okay, that's pretty good advice. And our guest, Robert Clary, is about to sing now, accompanied by the Bob Trendler Band, fine tune titled Out of This World.
Out of this world, when I'm looking at you, I hear out of this world the music that no mortal ever knew. You're right out of a book, the fairy tale I read when I was so high. No armored knight out of a book was more enchanted by a Lorelei than I. After waiting so long for the right time, after reaching so long for a star, all at once from the long and lonely night time, and despite time, here you are. This world, if you'd say we were through, so let me fly out of this world and spend the next eternity or two with you.
Get lucky. It's got the taste to start with. Get lucky. It's got the taste to stay with.
This is Frank Gifford. When you get lucky, you get the taste to start with, the taste to stay with. Because Luckies give you the taste of fine tobacco. That's why so many smokers start with Luckies. And why lucky smokers stay lucky smokers.
Get lucky. It's got the taste to start with. Get lucky. It's got the taste to stay with. Get lucky. Get great taste all the way with the fine tobacco taste of Lucky. Get lucky, Lucky Strike.
Thank you very much, Robert Clary, one of the great young talents in whom the future of radio certainly is invested, representative of the type of experienced young veteran who from now on will carry the load, the carry the torch that's been so beautifully carried up till now by many of the people whom we've heard today. Have a little note here. Somebody called in and reminded us that it's Harry Creighton's 50th birthday as well as WGN's 40th, and that's a little difficult to understand since Harry was an announcer at WGN at the age of 25 when he started.
The mathematics are wrong there somewhere, Jack. Well, earlier today on our birthday party, we heard from several prominent well-wishers who've been helping us celebrate our 40th anniversary in broadcasting. And right now, we have a special message from one of the outstanding spokesmen of the entire broadcasting industry. Ladies and gentlemen, the Honorable Leroy Collins, former governor of Florida and president of the National Association of Broadcasters. Governor Collins.
Hello, everybody. This is Leroy Collins, president of the National Association of Broadcasters, and I am sending greetings and best wishes to radio station WGN Chicago on its 40th birthday anniversary. WGN has an illustrious record of broadcasting in the public interest. As a member of NAB and as a subscriber to NAB's radio code, WGN provides quality listening in its coverage area. You know, radio has been, over the years, and of course is, a vital part of our daily lives. Radio is important to each of us and to all of us. We rely on radio to keep us informed of constantly changing conditions in our communities, in our nation, and around our shrinking globe. We depend on radio for the latest road reports, for weather information, and so on. We enjoy radio for its entertainment in good taste. And radio advertising gives us the best buys in goods and services. So enjoy radio and use radio. And join with me in sending congratulations to WGN on its 40th birthday anniversary and best wishes to WGN staff under the able direction of Executive Vice President Ward Quall.
Thank you, Governor Collins. We'll be back with our special 40th anniversary show right after this message.
Bring home the butternut bread, bread. You finally leave the office, a thought comes in your head. You kissed your wife this morning, now what was that she said? She said, bring home the butternut bread, bread. Bring home the butternut bread. You're buying jam and pickles and chicken a la king. Somehow you feel you're leaving out the most important thing. Bring home the butternut bread, Fred. Bring home the butternut bread, Fred. You're going to the check stand, your shop can find me through. The checker wears a great big smile as she admires you, cause you bring home the butternut bread, Fred. Bring home the butternut bread.
The Hubbard Brickhouse Show have some real class to it today because the time ordinarily taken up by our gabbing is devoted today to our WGN 40th birthday party. And of course, in keeping with the policy that WGN has always had of performing the greatest service to the greatest number of people possible, we not only bring you up-to-the-minute news at all times, but as you know, and especially you must know this if you're driving home right now, the traffic copter reports have become a vital part of the WGN service to the great American public. So we're going to take a few minutes break now for news headlines and the traffic copter report with Irv Hayden, and then we'll be back with the final portion of our big birthday show.
This is WGN Radio Chicago, heard in more homes and automobiles each week than any other Chicago station. Continental Illinois National Bank and Trust Company has presented this report directly from the WGN traffic copter. Our next traffic copter report this afternoon at 4:50 p.m. We regret to inform you it is not 70 degrees as reported on the news at 4:30. It is 90 degrees in Chicago. And the time is 4:36. B for Bussy. B for Buick, Bussy Buick, Main Street, Mount Prospect. Now we return you to Pierre Andre, Jack Brickhouse, Eddie Hubbard, and the WGN birthday party.
great time here on WGN's big 40th birthday party. And there's still more to come, so stick with us. Right now it's music. Bob Trunker and the WGN Orchestra, and everything's coming up roses for you and for me and for WGN Radio.
Tonight,
10 great races for your delight. Come out and see those trotters. They're a beautiful sight. Post times 8, 40.
It's 8,
40.
Lots over.
Parking right up till 8, 40. We'll meet you there.
At Maywood Park.
Where?
At Maywood Park. River Road and North Ave.
Maywood Park's
the biggest fun that you'll
Maywood Park's the greatest thrill that you'll Maywood Park's the nicest time that you'll have.
That's right, fans. See Night Harness Racing at Maywood Park. 10 races, Power Mutuals, and Daily Double. And there's plenty of parking. Dine in the Silk and Sulky Room, 8600 West on North Avenue. For reservations, call Mansfield 6-4816.
Meet you at Maywood.
Well, we've gone through the 20s and the 30s and the 40s and the 50s so far, and the end isn't in sight. The 60s, of course, are the years of the new frontier in government, in business, in science, and in radio, too. And radio, WGN Radio, brought you the history-making sounds of the new frontier.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
T-minus 10 seconds, counting. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3,
engine start.
2, 1, 0, ignition,
lift off,
the MA-6 vehicle
has
lifted off,
straight, slowly, now gaining in speed, going faster and straighter, and right, right in the tail of that bird as it goes straight up. Colonel Glenn is being hunted with a beautiful white, upgrade flight, right up into the blue sky over Cape Canaveral. And with him go the hope, the prayer, the well-wishes of all Americans and of all in the free world. God go with you, Colonel.
Two outstanding moments of the 1960s, President Kennedy's inaugural address and the takeoff of Colonel John Glenn in the Friendship 7. Well, speaking of friendship, one of our most cherished is that with Bob Trendler, and I know Pierre and Eddie agree. Bob has been a fixture and a real musical tower of strength at WGN for how many years, Bob, really? How many years you've been?
I don't know exactly.
How many? When did you first come here?
Well, I came from WLW, but I didn't come to this station right away. I came in 1933, but I was at you know where.
Well,
they have nice shows too. You know where.
Yeah. That's station YK. Bob.
Yes.
I think one of the first assignments I ever worked with you was The Tom, Dick, and Harry Show.
Oh, boy. Remember those?
Yes, there were a lot of talents in those days, and I remember your being a little bit on the opinionated side as to who would make it and who wouldn't. Who are some of the talents you said would never make it?
Well, there were a few. Andrew Sisters.
The Andrew Sisters?
Yeah. And Dinah Shore. A few others. Gloria Vann, I told her to go home and get married.
Well, she did, but she came back.
But we did a lot of auditioning in those days, you know. And, of course, we weren't all wrong. We had some pretty wonderful people come through town.
Who were some of the big names who actually did work in the WGN band?
You mean orchestra men? Well,
yes.
The Dorseys were in the orchestra originally.
Was Benny Goodman in the band?
No, Benny, I don't believe Benny was in this band, but during the time that Goldcat had the orchestra, he had a lot of stars in this orchestra. And then, of course, Vic Young was the leader here for a while, and then he went on to the coast. And, as I said, the Dorseys and a lot of others.
You've had people like Norman Luboff, I was going to mention. Wasn't
Norm and Ray Charles. Helped me with arranging chores.
I was going to say now, pardon me for interrupting, but the thing that we always overlook in the Bob Trendler story is the fact that, I mean, we all know that he's a fine orchestra leader and everything else, an arranger for band. But I think his great forte was in the presentation of these vocal groups and the arranging for them that he did, for example, on the Theater of the Air. Oh, yes. Bob used to do all of that arranging.
Mm-hmm. But I had a little help. We were busy in those days, and Norman and Ray Charles sang in the chorus, and they did a lot of ghosting for me, and they, of course, they've done real well. Norm lives in England now, you know.
Yes.
Norm
Lewis. One of the things that always impressed me, Bob, about our music around here was the splendid arrangements. Now, who are a couple of people behind the scenes who have been responsible for those?
For our arrangements?
Yes.
Well, we had a lot of men. We had Lush Hyatt with us for years, and we had Ken Churchill with us for years, and
Chapadema.
Harry Butka wrote for us.
Fred Mankin, didn't he write Wabash Blues?
Yes, he was
by the name of Phil Schuchen.
That's right.
Leo, wasn't
it? Yes, they were both here.
Yeah. Mac McConnell is here right now.
Yes.
And Adolf
Hoffman, he did the serious, legitimate work. I wrote a few little things. And
Stardust, isn't it?
No.
Bob kids himself about some people he said would never make it, but this fellow has helped a lot of people up the ladder, people who have made it. And one of the proud things at WGN is the fact that we have so many other people who have made it, are making it, and are making it possible for WGN to maintain its place as the number one radio station in this world. People like, well, I'll name a few, Wally Phillips, Virginia Gale, Jack Taylor, John Mallow, Frank McCormick, Paul Salinger, Sig Sackowitz, Cliff Johnson, Eddie, for example.
That's right, a great announcing staff, too, like Georgie Bauer and Bob Bell, can't forget Bob, and Dick Coughlin, Holland Engel does a great job on the 8 o'clock news, Carl Grayson, you mentioned, Dick Lashbrook.
And now we have things like the Metropolitan Opera Broadcast, the Opera Guild Auditions of the Air, baseball, and so on. The Brickhouse Suburb Show.
Speaking of baseball, Vince Lloyd, then you, of course, got Jack Quinlan, Lou Boudreau, Lloyd Pettit, and let's don't forget Cliff Mercer, and, of course, the fellow's working his head off here today, Harold Turner, Bob Trunder in the orchestra, our WGN Barn Dance crew, our fine Farm Service Department with Orion Samuelson and John Omberg, Bears football is a fine feature here, hockey, the Opera Guild Auditions of the Air, Flying Officer Irv Haydon, and we could go on and on. Throughout its long and exciting history, WGN Radio has constantly worked hand-in-hand, incidentally, in service with the Chicago Police Department, speaking of Irv Haydon, and right now, a special message from Chicago's Superintendent of Police, O.W. Wilson.
I commend WGN and offer my heartiest congratulations on the station's 40th birthday. Your fine station has contributed toward the building of civic pride. Its programs have typified the dynamic, will-to-do spirit of the city of Chicago. Specifically, WGN services in providing traffic news, its insistence upon citizen responsibility for good government, and its balanced programming have been of great service to Chicago for one and a half generations. We in the Chicago Police Department recognize and appreciate the continual support and excellent cooperation of WGN. We want you to know that your high ideals, your precepts and examples have aided us in forwarding the cause of law and order. Again, my heartiest congratulations to you on the excellence of your program. on your superlative broadcasting.
Thank you, Superintendent Wilson. I'm sure the fine relations established during the past 40 years between the Chicago Police and station WGN will continue long into the future. Now, hold that record up there, boys, because Pierre has something to say.
Well, I think before we go any further on this show, and it seems to us that this thing has been going great, we've been right on time, we know that, and that's the most unusual thing in the world for this kind of a show. And the two men who deserve most of the credit, well, there are a lot of people, I mean, behind the scenes, of course, but the two men are these fellows who've been up night working on this thing, and what a job they did. Bob Bradford, who's been down here in the studio, and Dick Jones up there, who's about ready to be carried out.
They've done a tremendous job, no question. Take a bow, fellas.
And right alongside of a Marshall Jewell and Charlie Allen from our engineering department and our music and transcription department, both of whom come with the lease at WGN. As a matter of fact, Charlie was born under the piano in Studio A.
We've got the people to put on shows in this place, and we've got the people to stage them, haven't we?
And we're always going to have them.
Now, why don't we have nice sponsors like this?
Go Big!
With a big gallon
of city service gasoline.
Big!
With the big, super big power that comes from city service gasoline. Big!
With a big mileage,
the biggest performance ever seen.
From the wonderful world of city service research, the big gallon. Not bigger in size, but big in what science puts into it. Big in what you get out of it. Big mileage, big power, big performance. So, go big.
Big! With the big, happy big gallon of city service. City service gasoline.
Oh, okay. Well, it's been quite a show today, I'll tell you. I know that, Pierre, you've, we got a call us a while ago, one of the kennels. They want to know where Sandy was. They were listening.
Did they hear him bark?
The call was from Sandy. It says, come and get me. I'm a prisoner here.
Well, don't forget Whiz, the best candy bar there is. I know that Irv Hayden's up there with a report now on the traffic scenes. Was a public service of WGN Radio. Come in, Irv Hayden.
Thank you, Eddie, and I appreciated all the kind words, and if I may, I would just like to take a second to remind our listeners that the originator, I think, and my predecessor was one of the most loved guys in the city of Chicago, Flying Officer Len Bawley, a terrific guy, and just a word to remember him. Hollywood Bryn Mawr Sheridan Road Bridge, all moving very well, northwestbound from Lakeshore Drive. Peterson Normal, east and westbound from Bridge 2 Cicero, western, north and southbound FM1, no problem. Eden's northbound wide open from the Northwest Expressway. The Northwest Expressway is okay northbound from the Eden's Fork. The Northwest Expressway, the regular lanes, we have tight pockets at Addison and another at...
As a public service of WGN Radio, we brought you the WGN Traffic Copter Report. And we have the boys all set up here, still got their lips in order, and I see that the trumpet men are ready to blow. And all Bob's going to give them a downbeat. And here we go with Love Makes the World Go Round. Love makes the world go round. That was Bob Crennan of the band. It certainly contributed a lot to the show today, a big three-hour show. These fellows have really been knocking themselves out, supplying music on their own and backing up the many vocalists. And, by the way, we've had a lot of nostalgia today, and I want you to stay tuned for the sports review that Brickhouse will have in just a moment. He's in the Studio A about to give it to us. You stay tuned, listen very closely, because I'm not going to tip my mitt or his mitt and tell you what's coming off, and I think you'll enjoy hearing it. Well, Pierre, you've had quite a day yourself. I know that you met many of your old friends, and as a Johnny-come-lately, my few short years in this business, compared with fellows like you and Quinn Ryan, the folks you've heard today, it's been a real delight to be here and help celebrate the 40th anniversary of our great station.
Well, Ed, it's you don't know how wonderful it is to have you on WGN. I mean, I don't want to make this sound like a Johnny-come-lately, because you're not. You've been here quite a while now, but I want to tell you this, that no one ever fitted into the WGN family like you did when you first came here.
Well, you
and
have
stayed that way. And, you know, a lot of good work and goodwill and good wishes go into the art and mystery of broadcasting, and since this is a happy anniversary, there's, of course, no call for solemn announcements, just this happy one. It's God bless to the hundreds of talented men and women who've made us what we are, and it's God bless to a faithful audience, people who've praised our virtues, given our faults over since a new notion of service, information, and entertainment came in on the crystal set some 40 years ago. And so, from the Mid-America Broadcast Center, WGN Radio Chicago, this is Pierre Andre wishing you all a great day.